For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.
Eamon, thank you very much. You're listening to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. I'm not in studio. Actually, I am on the Malahide Road in Coolock. Across the road from the Crown Paints site. I'm staring across at it now. So it was at this site last week that those ugly scenes erupted. Whereby Gardaí and protesters faced off, missiles were thrown, people were assaulted, a number of arrests made, of course. And it was on foot, or certainly what precipitated the scenes, was an attempt to enter the site to prepare it for international protection applicants, and fires were set when that happened. And what maybe some people don't realise is that, you know, while the really ugly scenes have abated, they haven't disappeared altogether, and more fires have been lit at this site. I don't know if you can hear that, people beeping their support, one would assume, for protesters. But more fires, like I say, have been set, and this includes last night, and some smouldering remains of that fire can be seen through the barriers. There's a number of people still manning the barriers, at five or six only this morning. That number kind of goes up and down over the course of a week. And on those barriers, there's various messages. Lots of flags up. There's Dublin flags, Irish flags. There's a Tyrone flag. Young lad on a scrambler wearing a balaclava and no helmet just drove past doing a wheelie, as you do. Lots of Irish bunting, loads of tricolours, pictures of Michael Collins, plenty of pictures of Michael Collins for some reason. Coolock says no, concerned parents say no, women and children are not safe, we should be allowed to walk our streets, or we should be able to walk our streets. And then spray painted messages as well. Get them out, F them out, F the guards, F the government, rapists, pedos, nonces. Get the smell bags out. That says one of those messages. Irish only. Ireland is full. Irish only again. So an awful lot of those messages emblazoned on the barriers. I mean, you look, for all the talk of kind of a lack of services and people being quite rightly angry in this area, which is absolutely a factor in all of this, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment with a local councillor, none of those messages I've read out are about local services. You know, calling asylum seekers who you've never met a pedo and a nonce and a smell bag and imploring that they be effed out of the country has nothing to do with a lack of GP services or waiting lists for Beaumont Hospital to get your hip replaced or something like that, or that the school doesn't have a second autism unit when it should, or that there's not enough houses being built in the area. I mean, there's no other way to describe them, those messages, other than absolute racism, pure and utter racism. And we should be willing to call that out, and it shouldn't be controversial to call that out. And you're not calling an entire community racist when you call those things out. Can't remember who said it over the last few days to describe the feeling in communities like this, but it's angry about all the right things with all the wrong people. I'm going to take a stroll back down into Coolock village to speak to a local councillor, a newly elected local councillor, but a Coolock woman, Jesselyn Henry, born and reared in this area, reared her own daughter in this area as well, so knows it well and is passionate about the people who live here. And we're going to talk about those services, where they are lacking, how people are angry, and the way that anger has been directed in a way that means I'm now standing on the Malahide Road in Coolock looking at the smouldering remains of diggers behind barriers that says F out the pedo immigrants. Okay, so I'm just back down the road. I'm actually in Coolock Village proper with newly elected councillor Jesalyn Henry. Jesalyn, thanks a million for joining us and agreeing to have a chat. I'm keen to talk a bit about services in this part of Dublin, because that's what we keep hearing in the aftermath of these awful scenes we had last week, is about the kind of the righteous anger, whatever about how it manifests and other people coming in and exploiting it, but that the anger is real, the right to be angry. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing the numbers of children waiting on assessment of needs were rising all the time. That was one of the biggest things that came across for me on the doors during the campaign. Those children that have their disability diagnosis are waiting on services, and there's just no services there for them. You know, elderly people trying to get hospitals or doctor's appointments. So, like, the services just aren't there in our communities. You know, the community is growing. You've seen that walking around. You know, there's housing going up, in fairness to them, you know, and pretty regularly along the way. But there's no increase in GPs. There's no assistance with getting hospital appointments. Waiting lists are just miles long.
And this is something, like, long before we had the standoff at Crown Paints and JCB's getting set on fire and everything, as you say, you were getting on the doorstep in the campaign.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The services have been a huge issue in the area for a long, long time. I mean, all you have to do is look at any news item on the telly or on the radio, and they're talking about some sort of waiting list and how long people are waiting. And it's absolutely no different here in Coolock. People are just... Unfortunately, they can't afford to go private, which waiting lists for private assessments are too long anyway. But when you're trying to go public, you know, there's just no hope and there's no services there for people.
So, like, had the campaign, say, been run, the election campaign you ran on 5 years ago, you didn't run, but you've been out campaigning on previous elections for other candidates.
Yeah.
And people would have had the same anger, I'm sure, back then. You know, it's not like services have kind of have suddenly gotten worse. I just wonder... Who was the anger directed at, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Was it government? Who was it?
It was government, but I think 5 years ago we didn't have the level of immigration that we have now. So people still had hope that, you know, a house would come up, or if they were waiting for social housing, or, you know, the anger was still there, but it was kind of self-contained. There wasn't obviously so much social media. You know, TikTok was quite small then, so we weren't seeing the level of messaging that we are now as well, which is firing up that anger in people.
So at what point in the last few years then did you notice kind of the trend emerging of immigrants and immigration kind of being the problem here?
I'd say probably about a year to 18 months ago it started to spiral. You know, we've lots of hotels around here. Our area is actually, you know, quite friendly to immigrants. We have Beaumont Hospital just down the road. So, you know, we have a multicultural society around here, and everything seemed to be fine. But I suppose it was about 12 months to 18 months ago that you seen things starting to change.
And how did that manifest? So that, I take it, and you and I have been kind of been chatting as we've been walking around a bit as well, that... You would have had people maybe who without immigrants here, like, they're kind of rightfully angry about a lack of services,
and suddenly
they had someone to blame.
Yeah,
an
easy person to blame. That's exactly what it is. And of course, there is an element out there that, you know, are sending out this messaging that immigrants are to blame, and they're not. I mean, we absolutely need immigrants in this country, and for those that are coming in as asylum seekers, they absolutely do need support and help. We've looked for it over the years, but they are just an easy target for blame for a lot of people, rather than fighting against government. They're fighting against each other.
And how much misinformation then do you deal with, say, on the doorstep when someone says, oh, listen, Jesalyn, I'm with you, but you know what the problem is? It's the amount of foreigners moving in, or whatever it happens to be, and they're getting free houses, and they're doing this, that, and the other, and they're taking jobs. I mean, is it even possible to kind of to tackle the misinformation, or how difficult?
To some people it is, and you can have a lovely conversation and try and explain it. You know, and lots of people know that we absolutely do need immigration. But it's the stories of people burning passports or coming in here with no paperwork or people just getting a house because they've a different colour skin, which isn't happening. Sure, we see that with direct provision all the time. There's people living in a paint factory, a disused hotel, whatever it may be, for years. And they're being moved around the country just because they need it again. Or they're living in tents on the side of the road. And, you know, Irish people absolutely have homelessness, and it's shocking the level of homelessness that we have. But these are visible to them. They're seeing it on the news all the time. They're seeing the TikTok videos. They're seeing the Instagram posts. So again, it just makes it a target.
And seeing the week then of what happened last week, how frustrating or problematic is the media narrative that emerges afterwards as well? Because what happens sometimes, and listen, maybe we've been guilty of it, maybe I've been guilty of it, is everybody then who voices concerns is almost accused of a subtle racism. You know, you're hiding behind legitimate concerns. Look, if I'm kind of defending myself to a degree, sometimes people are hiding behind legitimate concerns, quote unquote, and actually they're just racist. But it's impossible sometimes to tell the difference.
Yeah, no, it is. Look, there definitely needs to be an education piece done by the government for everybody in Ireland. You know, people need to understand what the process is for asylum seekers and refugees, because they don't. You know, they need to know, but they also need public consultation. You know, rather than an email being sent out in March when there was already protesters sitting outside the factory to tell councillors and TDs that it was happening, do that beforehand. Give people the opportunity to talk to community groups, to talk to people in the area, find out what they want. I didn't have, because I wasn't elected, but there was a meeting in April of the local councillors and TDs and some of the community groups. But you couldn't even call it a meeting. It was, this is happening, this is when it's going to happen, and, you know, deal with it, basically. So the community, you know, nothing was looked at. What services could be put into the community to help with integration, which I think is really, really important. But, like, people need to know the facts as well. Like, it's very upsetting for me, being from Coolock, seeing what's going on in Crown Paints. I mean, the level of anger, the frustration, the arson, the assaults, it's not right. It absolutely is not right. But at the same time, I know a lot of people down there are, well, which side am I on? There's only two sides. I'm either pro-immigration or I'm anti-immigration. Well, I'm looking for services, so I'm going to have to march with this. Do you know, and there's that kind of thing too.
So people get forced into a camp that they wouldn't ordinarily be in.
Yeah, absolutely. But then there's also people as well that they believe what they see. So they're looking at TikTok or they're looking at Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be, and they're seeing videos of what's happening, and that's fueling their anger. Whether it's edited, whether it's one side of the story, it doesn't matter. But then even the media, it's very, very different. You know, we see mainstream media are saying, you know, the guards are absolutely right and this is what's happening and they're just thugs and they're scumbags and they're all this kind of stuff. And then on the other side, then, the guards are the thugs and this. So it's trying to believe which is true. But of course, in Coolock, you know, and in deprived areas all across the country, they see the guards as, you know, I suppose a source of, they're the authoritarian figures. Do you know, they tell you what to do. So they're shifting to the other side.
It's kind of dispiriting, you know, the way you describe it. And I mean, it sounds so plainly obvious that it's almost redundant saying it. But I mean, you kind of neutralize all of that anger by just providing those services. Is that it?
That's it. It's essential services that should be put in anyway. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, about the amount of building that's going on. Yeah, but we're doing it backwards. We absolutely need housing. Of course we do. You know, we've 14,000 people homeless at the moment. But, you know, if you looked at the infrastructure and the services that were in the communities before providing the building, well, actually, you'd have a far less community that's up in arms.
Yeah.
And if we had more youth services, if we had more, you know, community centres, youth groups, all this kind of thing, you'd probably have far less young people out there building hate against the state and building hate against, you know, those that are actually trying to help.
And then, like, on what we saw last week, I mean, how do you feel then as a local, say, when we walk up past the Crown Paints site and you've got people out there now, it's kind of much dwindled this morning, but, you know, you've got the graffiti out, you know, rapists go home, pedos, you know, send them back. This is your area. How do you feel about that?
Horrified, very upset, angry. I'm angry that the government haven't given proper understanding and proper resources to our community. I'm angry at social media that, you know, it's not filtered enough so that all of this stuff is getting out. So, you know, the fact that just because you have darker skin and you're Muslim, you're automatically a rapist, which is not true. But social media are doing very little about that and what's going out. But just very, very upset by the whole thing, to be honest. And a little bit fearful, because you just don't know where it's going to go.
Well, listen, Jesselyn, thanks a million for speaking to us on the show.
Thank you very much. No problem at all.
That was Jesselyn Henry, who's a local councillor, speaking to me in Coolock Village. I'm actually back up across the road on the Malahide Road across from the Crown Paints site, and I'm with Paula. Paula describes herself as a concerned citizen and has agreed to have a chat with me as well. So Paula, why are you here? Why do you lend support, I guess, to the people expressing their problem they have with international protection applicants going across the road?
I think the only way to work out why people are doing what they're doing is to actually speak to them from the ground up. You need to speak to them like it's the coal facing, whatever you want to call it, and why they're angry. And generally people don't, they're pushed into this. You know, I think we can, the Irish aren't an angry nation, but as Kevin, who's holding the flag there proudly, he says, you know, we're slow to anger, but when we do, we're rising up. And I think that's what's happening. And you can see it. And we talked just briefly before about the 12,000 that are accounted for, not to mention all the others, that are homeless. It's not about racism. We know that. And you know, I'm not talking to you. There's a fella across the road who just said to me, the Fianna Gael councillor wouldn't speak to him because he's considered far right. That's not democracy. Mm. How can you not have a conversation?
Yeah.
Because that's been wiped out. How clever has that happened? That's been orchestrated.
Can I ask, because, you know, the issues you mentioned about homelessness, absolutely a real problem, and the local councillor I spoke to as well and others talking about not just that, like housing in general and GP services and municipal facilities for the public being lacking in this area, hospital waiting lists, all of those things. And yet the kind of the messages festooned on the barriers across the road aren't about a lack of services. They're about kind of paedophile immigrants and nonces and rapists and smell bags.
They can't fight everything. I think really when you're looking at that, at the coal face, that is their land. Someone said to me the other day, they've been looking and fighting for a playground for their kids for 10 years. They never got a playground. Why the excuse my language, are these other people coming in and getting housed and free? I have a friend who
But
works,
why isn't that on the messages about, like, you know, playground for the community as opposed to rapists out?
Well, maybe it should be. And, you know, I'll say that to them. I think this is where we need to have a communication, a dialogue, because, you know, we all want to learn from each other, but not come in and say, this is marked, we're having men coming in. Where are the women and children? They're burning their passports. We know all this. Why is this is allowed to be happen? And from what I know, and it's on film, it was the Gardaí that are climbing in over the ladder, burning this.
You think the guards are setting the fires?
I don't know, but that's what I've been told, and it would not surprise me.
Why wouldn't that surprise you?
Because there's an agenda happening here.
What agenda?
Do your independent research and you listen back to all the information that's there. It's not hidden, as the Masonic leaders say, hidden in plain sight. If you just peel back a Band-Aid, you would be amazed at what's going on and what they say. They want to annihilate the white race. The Irish are known as a spiritual, you know, race. The land is sacred to them. And it was said, I don't know if Bill Gates said it or who said it, one of those awful, if you can call them, human beings, said we want to get rid of that spiritualness, because we want people to be compliant. We don't want people to be thinking. And that's hence this hate speech that's come in to shut people up. You said that about that black person, or you're racist. It's nothing to do with race. It's nothing to do with hating a black person. That's not the issue. The issue is our rights, our freedoms, freedom of speech, and, oh, I could go on and on. But, yeah, pedophilia is a big thing. The truth comes out, and the truth is coming out. Why do you think people are rioting? This isn't just happening because, you know, for no reason. More and more, and they arrest people, they're causing more riots, because they're going to get really angry over there. And they're not stopping. They're not going to back down.
The guards kind of have to arrest people if they're throwing missiles at the guards.
Okay, what about the video that didn't make RTE, of course? They're very selective. A video I saw of a guy saying, I'm standing up for my rights here. What's going on? You can't come in and do this. And the riot squad, they're not the Gardaí. Who are these riot squads? Where did they come from? Hiding their faces in their black armour, coming in and shoving them to the ground and drawing blood. That's not right. That's not democracy. Anyway, I could go on and on, but we'll leave it at that.
Paula, thanks a million for speaking to me.
That's okay.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.